Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Quentin Henning with us once again. Today, Quentin's going to give us an update on his understanding of what's going on with Lion One Metals. It's a company that is a sponsor of this show, and Quentin is an advisor and director to Crescat Capital, which is a strategic investor, or a strategic holder, at least, of Lion One's shares. Stock is selling in New York here. I'm looking at it. It's around around 83 cents, 156.4 million shares. LIO is a symbol in Canada, LIOMLF in the U.S. So thanks, Quentin, for joining us once again.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
Thank you very much, and I'm really glad to know that you're feeling better. I know you had a little bout with a tough.
You're gonna get my cough going. Give me a laugh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
I hope you have some cough drops ready. I live on cough drops when I have a problem like this, and I did last week. Thank God it went pretty well, but it's no fun. I know that, but I'm glad to know you're feeling better.
It's the top of the list of no fun, yes.
Yes, that's right. Well, we'll try to get through this as quickly as possible then, and but we do want to let our investors and listeners and subscribers know. It was on November 30th that Lion One released some results from it was an infill drill and resampling program undertaken in the near surface portion of the Tuvutu deposit. That's an area that the company has been planning to mine for some time, and now I guess they are actually planning to go through and do some test mining there in the near future. But can you talk a little bit about the results from that November 30th news release, in which they really announced a lot of drill results, a lot of assays, and from what I can see, they're pretty good.
Yes, they are very good, very good. Look, what I find really encouraging about the most recent rounds of assays that we've had, and this is actually for the past several months, is as they do this infill work, and this program is, like you said, dedicated towards the area that they anticipate going mining first, mm-hmm. They're seeing very consistent, nice, high-grade results. And this is encouraging. You know, it is a nuggety deposit in the sense that as you go along strike or down dip, you can see quite a bit of variability. But what they're finding is as they drill more holes, they're seeing some pretty consistent high grades show up. In fact, in general, the grades that you see out of a lot of recent holes are better than the resource grades that have been predicted through here. So I'm very optimistic of what this means. I think you know, like a lot of systems like this, like Vatukoula, which is nearby and was a great mine for many, many years. It mined gold for, I think, 85 years, still in production. But it, you know, it started out at a small scale like this, you know, a small, high-grade, narrow load system. But, you know, year after year after year, you know, it continued to deliver. I think we're going to see the same kind of thing out of Tuvutu here. I think these results that they've encountered are just stellar, and you know, like 20.6 grams of over 7.5 meters. I mean, what's not to like about that? You know,
absolutely. What do you think? You know, you say that the other mine that you just talked about started out small on surface, and this is the way things were going. You know, the company was planning until they started to realize that this is looks like a much bigger system, an alkaline system that has made, as you pointed out, some of the great mines in history. And this thing, from what I know there's been some deep holes that have had similar, even better grades, going down to considerable depth below the resource that is now calculated, that is already calculated. But do you think this is, in terms of the mining future, do you think they have other, I mean, there are several other targets along strike. I think over a 7-kilometer strike is a number of other targets look similar, very almost identical to this deposit. Do you think it's possible they could start mining from various mines and then processing it through a mill there, or how do you think this will work out? I mean, they're going to start with the existing deposit and build on that. That's what they're doing now, and that's where they'll start mining. But I mean, there must be some limit to how much you can pull from depth. So if you had several mines at the same time, might there be more production per annum?
Look, you know, one of the goals of the company is to explore the greater strike. And like you said, it's about 7 kilometers across the caldera from southwest to northeast. Mm-hmm. And they have at surface a number of showings that have surface samples that grade, you know, in excess of, say, 10 grams per ton, high-grade stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But so far, all of those are quite a bit earlier stage. Now, a bit of drilling has been done on some of those targets, and there is high grade in places. What it means or how big it might be, don't know just yet. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a longer-term goal of the company. Yeah. And, yes, in theory, yes, certainly they could be developed as independent mines or mm-hmm. whatnot. But I would say it's more likely than not that they would all be developed as part of the same mine. Mm. You know, that is a long strike. But I would say, you know, some of the more robust targets are within, say, a kilometer or two of Tuvatu. And, you know, as you know, these systems are vertical. They like mm-hmm. to go basically straight down on the ground, and they're very mm-hmm. deep. So it would make most sense to develop a lot of the stuff, say, within a kilometer or two mm-hmm. of existing resource from any infrastructure that's put in underground at Tuvatu. One of the things that I would point out to listeners would be that the existing resource, like if you look at the vertical profile in which the existing resource is defined, it's roughly 400 meters tall. And it's, you know, it's just under, say, a million ounces. I think it's 800 and some odd thousand ounces. And so that translates to you know, 2,000, 2,500 ounces per vertical meter. Well, recently, you know, we've been drilling this high-grade structure at depth, the 500 zone, and we've done a lot more study of, you know, the actual the structure of the system, like where are these feeders and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think over the next few months, as we start drill testing some of these deeper features, you'll see the Tuvatu resource itself grow considerably.
Uh-huh.
I don't want people to lose sight of that as well. interestingly, the deepest plus 10 gram intercept we have from the depth of that intercept, which is getting close to a kilometer below the surface, you know, we're looking at a vertical profile of 1,000 meters already. Okay, now
right.
We haven't drilled out all of that yet. I mean, we've drilled up quite a few holes in that lower part, but and know the system's there, but we don't have it fully drilled out. Mm-hmm. But if you start to apply the fact that there's probably 2,000, 2,500 ounces per vertical meter, it's easy to kind of conjecture right now that there is potential to have a 2.5 million ounce resource mm-hmm. right there at Tuvatu, mm-hmm. you know, aside from targets even adjacent to us. So
right,
I'm very upbeat about the whole system. It's pretty much playing out just like I hoped it would.
Like you hoped it would. Any idea when, what have they targeted, a targeted time for test mining?
Yeah, I believe they've actually stated here recently that by the end of 2023, I think, that they're looking to have a small-scale test mine in place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and the company has their own assay lab, and I think they have their own drills, right? So they can do a lot of this stuff right. without waiting, and they're not dependent on lab delays and so forth. So do you expect that we'll start to see some more assays coming out pretty soon?
Yes, they should have another round of assays here shortly. Of course, Christmas kind of delayed, like everybody takes off a week or two around Christmas, so mm-hmm. assays. But I think there's a pile growing right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if they put out another news release in the not too distant future. You know, what's going to excite people, I think, is to see, you know, advancement towards the mining, that story start to develop. And then some of these deeper tests, I think you'll see that the company's going to kind of push the envelope around some of the deeper stuff and stuff along strike, especially immediately adjacent to Tuvatu. I think that's going to be a major thrust for exploration here soon.
Funding the company, they're all right for now. They're going to have to raise something. Some
more. They've got plenty of money. I think they have just a tad over $50 million in the bank.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they're in really good shape.
And then just one more question, Quentin, before we give your voice a rest. The management, you know, we're going from exploration to production. Talk to us a little bit about the management and the capabilities that they might have talent-wise to move this towards test production and then hopefully beyond.
Certainly. Look, in I think August or September of last year, they brought in two new team members to add to their existing team. You got Sergio Catalani, who's an exploration geologist, very well seasoned at advanced stage drill outs, you know, like near mine level drill outs. He worked at Castle Mountain most recently. Castle Mountain, of course, Equinox in California is in production. And, you know, Sergio runs circles around this kind of thing. So he's done an exceptional job, as you can see, of delivering very consistent news flow around high-grade intercepts, this infill drilling, the deep drilling, et cetera. So that's he's a great addition. And then Patrick Hickey has also joined the company here recently. Patrick, I've known for many years. Patrick is a mine builder. He's built large-scale and smaller-scale mines around the world, mainly gold, but also even nickel, like he built, helped build Mbatabi in Madagascar, for example. He has a unique skill in that he has operated building mines in fairly remote locations on islands, believe it or not. So, like he built Batu Hijau for Newmont back in the late 1990s, and you know that's pretty remote on an island. Okay. He's well suited for operating in this type of environment. I think most of the plans have now been crystallized under Patrick's direction. I really am anxious to see the company move towards this small scale mining.
Yeah, I would think, as especially if it's showing good profit margins, operating margins at least to start with, that would start to get people interested in what I can see.
You know, look, it's one of the highest grade resources around. Vaticolo nearby, you know, very similar story. It was a plus 10 gram deposit. In this case, the existing resource is hovering around 9 or 10 grams, but you also have this higher grade mineralization showing up at depth. The 500 load, which was the subject of a news release sometime a couple of months ago, if you look at that news release, you can see the weighted average grade of those intercepts down there is like 23 grams or thereabouts. I mean, it's impressive stuff. How many deposits do you know that have those kind of grades?
No, not very many. Well, thank you, Quentin, very much for spending time with us, and especially with your voice and the issues that you have there. I'm glad to know you're feeling better. And
I can't be having more fun right now, Jay. This year is going to be, I'm absolutely 100% stoked.
Well, it certainly might also just tell listeners that the Crescat Capital Get Active series at YouTube is one that for the listeners that are out there that are investing in some of these companies, I think most, if not all, of the sponsors of this show are also maybe owned by Crescat. They're covered, but lots of others as well. Folks, Quentin does a great job of explaining the geology in terms that we can understand as laypeople, and that's what makes it so valuable, as well as Crescat does a wonderful job, I think, of explaining the macroeconomic scenario and the markets, and why, especially now, there's reason to be extremely bullish on commodities and gold, in gold and silver, the precious metals, for sure. And maybe give some good reasons why maybe some of the things that have done so well for the last number of years might not be the place you want to put all your money these days. So anyway, Quentin, thank you so much.
Thank you
once again.